Welcome back. Glad you're along on this Friday night. Weekend coming up. I would just kindly remind you that there is still a little time to put some food away and water if you haven't. And even if you have, you can add something to it if you can afford it. This bank situation, if you'll check the headlines out at the top, I've got a pretty good coverage on the failure today of SVB, Silicon Valley Bank. This is potentially the first domino to fall in a nationwide collapse of banks. They're all over-leveraged to speak of, as most of you realize, with fractional banking underlying the whole scam. And the bank in Silicon Valley is now in the hands of the feds. They took it over. They announced to all their customers a couple of days ago that, gosh gee, we're $2.5 billion overdrawn, so to speak. This is the bank talking. And that they couldn't handle the problem. They needed to have an investor step in. Well, usually it would be the federal government that would step in if the government wanted to. But since they've given $150+ billion to Zelensky and his Zionist cronies in Ukraine, there's not a lot of discretionary income laying around now, at least not that they're talking about. Of course, when you continually just raise the debt, you've got discretionary income. Welcome back, young lady. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
I feel like a hummus sandwich. I may not look like a hummus sandwich.
Well, it's still dinner time
like
there,
a...
isn't it?
Yes. Yes. But I have to work, so no eating on the job.
Right. No.
You can't talk. You start drooling. Anyway. All right. Here we are, March 2023, in our third year of trying to help people understand that they are not dealing with anything to do with a normal health program. This so-called vaccine, and I will repeat this for the thousandth time, has nothing to do with vaccinations, nothing to do with protecting you against anything. It has only to do with hastening your departure from this veil of tears, or giving your undertaker more business, or... And you can fill in the blanks after that. It's a biological weapon of death and destruction. That's what it is. And when they built it with the idea that they could get away with not having to inject 100% of the flock. They're over 80%. We think about 83 in the U.S. Whatever. Doesn't matter. 73, 83. Because they built into it the clear ability that it will shed the spike protein and we know now, the mRNA as well. So the vaxxed or the injected are imminently dangerous to the unvaxxed. You must keep that in mind. That is a fact. And the fact of shedding is absolutely inarguable. It is 1,000% real. We're going to play a clip. Actually, it's a repeat, but it's that vivid, and I want you to hear it again so those of you who might be sitting on the fence won't be sitting on the fence anymore, especially if it's a picket fence. Now, we had Dr. Peter Bregan on the program, and Dr. Bregan, God bless him, and Ginger, he doesn't believe that shedding is real, doesn't think it's worth talking about, and that's his opinion, and that's fine. But I think you long-term listeners well understand that what we're dealing with here is something that is clearly a mechanism that was part of the design of this biological weapon. It's not an accident. Nothing was left to chance. The people that put this together knew precisely exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, and we have the proof in well, aside from the many, many anecdotal reports, it was in the Moderna patent, in the description of the patent, that these things, the mRNA, can be shed in exosomes through all bodily fluids. And there were
all
indications in the Pfizer documents for the clinical trials that if a study participant came into contact with a pregnant woman, that was a reason to report that that had happened. They knew it should. And I even think Luigi Warren, who was one of the developments of this mRNA for Moderna at one point early on, came out on Twitter and said, yes, the mRNA can be shed. The protein that's being produced can be shed.
Now that we know...
And he was quickly censored.
Of course. But now that we know, without any question, that this is an absolute danger to all who are not vaxxed, injected, hopefully people you all know will take it seriously. It's very difficult, very frustrating to talk to someone about reality when they don't want to hear it. They shut the door on you, whatever their status, they don't want to hear about it. And that's part of the game. This was all, speaking of games, this was all gamed like war games on a computer, but it was a societal, social gaming. And they knew precisely how the enemy, us, would react to everything that they would introduce into the equation. And the equation was one of population reduction, which is well underway now. How quickly will it happen? I don't know. This is all fused differently in people, apparently. Not everyone's going to act the same. And you'll know, if you've been listening to us, the diversity, the number of different kinds of diagnoses that are being given back to these people who have been shed upon and vax-injured, if they have been vaxed, is astonishing. This thing can do so much damage. And I have this theory, again, that because the spike protein and the mRNA are being readily shed on everybody around those who are injected, and all the unjabbed people are at risk, that the spike gets into the body and it goes wherever the blood goes. It goes right through the blood-brain barrier into the brain, for example, and sets up shop. And what does it do when it sets up and binds to one of the receptors that it likes? What does it do in the capillary or a small vessel of any kind in the brain, for example? Tell us what it does.
Well, it causes severe inflammation and damage. Right. You know, when it comes to the blood, it causes clotting. It interacts with many different components in the blood. And then with the endothelium.
Yeah, that's good right there. When you have inflammation and you have clotting in the brain, depending on where it is, and the brain is a very sophisticated weapon against ignorance, at least it used to be. It's a brilliant computer, and it has something called morality, soul, feelings, consideration, although some say that comes from the heart, which is your second brain, but that's fine. At any rate, the brain can be damaged in so many ways by the spike protein. And depending upon where those damaged points are, you will begin to see manifestations in the behavior of the victims, of the people who have been either shed upon or injected. It doesn't matter. Either way, you're going to get it. If you get injected, you're going to have even more spike, of course, get right into the brain. If you work around the vaxxed, it'll take less time than you think, but you're going to get a goodly dose. Not as much as if you're vaxxed, but you're going to get it. And people are not acting right anymore. I hear this all the time, and I think I'm seeing it all the time. And I would suggest that there is the potential of a mass species infestation of damage, brain damage, done by the spike. And I think that's being noticed by more and more people who report that their husband, their friend, their companions, they're not the same anymore after they get these horrible injections. I think that's on the table.
Yeah, I agree. I'm seeing it to some extent too. I was out driving today, and the number of drivers that really appear to be impaired, not aggressive driving, but just very, very slow,
poking
under
along
the speed limit. Yeah, and almost as if they're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as if they're having trouble processing external stimuli. They're just not aware of their surroundings, or they don't have the reflexes.
Really well
it's,
said.
It's noticeable.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I've seen the same thing. They'll be going below the speed limit. They act oblivious. But if you really look at some of them, they look like they're struggling to try to process data. I've gone around them. And I've looked at a few of them. And they look troubled. I don't know how else to phrase it. And I don't think I'm reading too much into this because the number of reports we get is just, it's an endless stream now. So I think we have to consider that in addition to the simple fact the heart is being severely damaged, and we know how the spike protein can cause the heart to bioelectrically just shut down. That was made quite clear by Dr. Daniel Nagase. And we've got all that. We've presented all that, and it's there now, and it is known. And here's another story out of Australia. The first officer, co-pilot, if you will, of a commercial airliner, 30 minutes after takeoff, suffered a massive heart attack. Fortunately, the pilot was unaffected, and the plane was safe. But this guy was, I'm not sure if he survived or not, but the story's up in headlines now. You can see it. So this is happening a lot. They're trying to cover it up as much as possible. The airlines don't want to lose business, so they're going to keep these things under the rug as much as they can. But passengers, when they see someone being carried out of the cockpit, turning purple and laid down, it's kind of hard to hide that. So at any rate.
There's also more incidences of, I don't know what you'd call it, impulse control disorder. There was a flight this week from, I think it was L.A. to Boston, and some guy just went nuts, you know, tried to, attack a flight attendant. Mm-hmm. It took about six other guys to restrain him, but he tried to open a emergency exit
right. In
flight.
Great. Just great. Now, Michael Snyder put together a story I ran about a week ago. I ran it twice, and I think it was 14 video recordings of people freaking out, which is what Erica just explained. It's just showing people losing it in the middle of wherever they are. They just lose it, and they start yelling, and they start screaming, and they just don't control themselves or can't anymore. So
yeah.
What you're saying about what happened on the plane is so common that Michael Snyder put out an entire column on this with 14 videos. And that was up there. I should try and find it and rerun it. But very important to watch. When you see it, you will understand that something is taking this society down. These people are under stress. I understand that. But their behaviors are completely unbridled and loose. They're just not even trying to restrain. They're going nuts. We're going to see more of that.
Yeah, there's probably many things contributing to it, but we cannot dismiss the spike as a major culprit right now, I would say. Just given the number of people who have been vaxxed repeatedly now that are prolific producers of spike protein.
Five shots, six shots, and how many people have gotten the Novavax, which no one seems to talk much about anymore, so I don't know how popular it is, but Novavax is 100% pure spike protein. Now think about the insanity right there, everyone. And I know many of you have heard us talk about Novavax, but it's crazy. It's crazy.
It sure
is. What is the name of that disorder? I've got to find it. Where people just lose it. This has traditionally been around. There's a name for it. It's a disorder. Medical disorder where people start yelling. See if that does it. It's a word for it. Well, here's one. Clazomania refers to compulsive shouting. It has features resembling the complex tics, such as echolalia, pilalia, and coprolalia, seen in tic disorders. It's called also, and here's the word I was looking for, Tourette's syndrome. Okay? That's a neurologic disorder, mostly in kids, but it can happen at any age. It causes tics and involuntary spasms and verbal issues that people are just now yelling out. No more restraint. Vocal tics. Odd.
Yeah, I actually knew a girl that had that.
Tourette's, yeah.
Not Tourette, but the outburst. She would have these vocal outbursts. She'd be sitting watching television. I mean, she was young, probably, I don't know, five, six years old.
Uh-huh.
And just out of the blue, she would just scream.
Well, the word I found Yeah, is klazo, K-L-A-Z-O, M-A-N-I-A, klazomania, to scream, that's Greek, refers to compulsive shouting. It has features resembling the complex tics, such as several other disorders. It was first reported in 1925, etc., so forth. Signs and symptoms. Let's do this real quick. Klazomania is similar to other complex tics, and it lists the others I've already mentioned. It's defined as compulsive shouting, which can be in the form of swearing, barking, growling. The subject may appear flushed, like he's taken too much niacin. And klazomania can... That was a little joke for my partner here. And klazomania can occur with increasing frequency if the person is agitated. So it's pouring gasoline on a fire. So that's... Maybe that's being triggered. Who knows? So at least there's one word for it beside Tourette's. Klazomania. All right. Now, for those who don't believe in shedding, you're entitled. It's okay. If you don't want to, you don't want to. It's all right. But the data, I think, has been beyond, proportionally speaking, an avalanche. Beyond. It's overwhelming. Yes, anecdotal, because they don't want to talk about it to us, so they're going to keep it quiet. Shedding. But there are some major intelligent people who just don't want to sign on to that, don't want to go there. And not much we can do except keep doing what we're doing to bring the information forward. Now, we have a video clip here. You want to go ahead and set this up? This is a very interesting and really staggering testimonial to what shedding can do. This is a rather extreme case because this person worked 8-10 hours a day hands-on with the vaxxed. But before they were vaxxed, in years gone by, never a problem. As soon as they started showing up after getting injected, her life changed. Anything else you want to add? Let's
I think, viewed this the first time, was it sometime last week, right before Nurse Ian came on. So we only had about, I don't know, couple minutes to get into it, but it really is a classic case of somebody that was exposed unwittingly to whatever noxious protein or other substances that are being emitted by the vaxxed through her work situation. And now she's developed a condition that is going to require some serious vigilance, monitoring, and management. It appears as though she's has some sort of a permanent clotting disorder that she's got to be very aggressive in controlling.
I think she could have died from the amount of
yes. At one point, it felt as though she was having a heart attack, and she's doing her best to manage it through whatever information she can collect from various medical practitioners, not necessarily doctors, but people that have some idea how to address these things.
And her profession,
not your typical
was,
doctor.
She had to give it up. What her profession was very interesting.
She was a professional athletic
myotherapist. Yeah, she worked on musculature.
Right.
In athletes.
Right.
So, all right, let's take a listen. And just understand, the operative word here, again, is shedding.
So I was a medical myotherapist for 18 years. What that is a pro athlete, hands-on, kind of a hybrid massage therapist where I did manual adjustment with the muscle tissue where it integrated into the bone. It basically means just a muscle engineer. There's not very many of us in the country. That's why it's not a common statement that people know what we do. But that being stated, I worked hands-on 60 minutes at a time, 6 to 7 hours a day on athletes, skin-to-skin contact for 18 years. I mean, talking about through tuberculosis, H1N1, people with flus. I mean, nothing really affected me because it's like being around a five-year-old from kindergarten for 6 months. Once you build up those antibodies and immunities, you have herd immunity for yourself. You can be really around anyone. So COVID itself did not really affect me. And fun fact, I happen to be pregnant during COVID. I have a two-year-old. So I worked through pregnancy. I was pain management, so I was able to keep working. And I didn't wear a mask because they're ridiculous. It's stupid. I'm not putting a diaper on my face all day. I'm trying to breathe. Plus the fact I wanted oxygen for my child while I was, raising, caring for them inside my body. And I wound up going on maternity leave in March of 2021. I came back June of 2021, three months later, and some of my athletes had gotten vaccinated at that point. So before that, they hadn't really gotten into the full vaccine profile. I normally would never massage a person that was within 2 weeks of an mRNA vaccine, like a flu shot, because I'm very sensitive chemically to those problems. I always used to see hand pain and joint pain after I'd work on somebody who'd had a flu vaccine. So it was just part of my protocol, and I considered it a contraindication. I had a patient of mine, we'll call him patient A. I know exactly how I got affected. I worked on this person every other Monday, rain or shine, a hurricane or no hurricane. He was always on my table because he had been on IR and he wanted to maintain his position on the MLB and didn't want to get injured again. So that's a lot of problems with Tommy John syndrome. You have to maintain it in the elbow. He was there. I worked on him next day, Tuesday morning. My tongue swelled up, cracked, bled, blisters, left side of my spine and my cervical spine up my neck. Horrible headache. I'd never had a spinal migraine in my neck. It always was in my head if I ever had one. The left ring finger, which still doesn't straighten out to this day, bent, could not get it to straighten out. And my left ankle was very painful and my feet were numb. So I did not quite understand what happened. I thought maybe it was some sort of allergy or I'd eaten something. I'm very aware of my body. I maintain a super healthy diet, no gluten, no sugar, no dairy. I take all my vitamins, my herbs. You have to when you work at that capacity and that level. And if you don't rub, you don't eat. That's the way it goes. So you got to be able to be available every day, and illness was expensive. So I always maintained a healthy body. By Thursday, I was better. I ate coconut oil, did my essential oils, everything I knew to do holistically. And I did actually reverse a lot of those symptoms 2 weeks later, worked on the same patient Tuesday morning, woke up identical issues. Now I'm seeing a pattern. It doesn't take me long to find a pattern. And I'm not the type of person that's just going to sit around and wait. So I did the same protocol, got better 2 weeks later, worked on the same patient. I was a little concerned that this might be the issue because he was the only one I was working on that had been vaxxed. And I had known that there was shedding that happens because whatever's in somebody's body is in my heart in 126 seconds because of sweat and because of lotion and coconut oil and constant contact for 60 full minutes.
That's a very interesting statement. I found it to be very provocative. When you hands-on with a vaxxed person, within 126 seconds, I think that's what she said, that spike protein, and God only knows what else, the mRNA and maybe other proteins that we don't even know about, are in her body or in your body if you're the unvaxxed person and you're touching or rubbing someone or giving someone a kiss on the cheek, whatever. Within 126 seconds, whatever is in them is in you and in your heart and in your brain and in all of your major organs. That's a very interesting statement. Did you find it so?
Yeah. But not surprising.
Not at all. Not to us. Okay, here we go.
I lift my hand up off of a patient for a full hour. Wow. So that constant contact does shed, period. Does not matter. It does shed. If you have a chemical in your body that's even, I had a patient of mine that was taking drugs for numbness for an elbow, and my hand started going numb after about 35 minutes of working on them. So that stuff does transfer. And if you don't realize that this body's a sponge, the skin is a sponge.
Yeah.
It's not an armor suit. That would be great if it was, but it's not. It pulls in everything. Your pores and your hands and your feet are huge. So I woke up the next morning, of course, same exact issues. My license was due August 2021 to be renewed. And I knew at the end of June that I could not continue my job. any longer after 18 years and working really hard to get into that field. It is hard to be an athlete therapist. Let's just be frank. I'm 5'4 and 120. My athletes were 6'8 and 380 all the way down to 6'2 and 200. And to get that kind of clout and to be able to build yourself into that position where people trusted you all over the country and worked for Applied Science Performance Institute, that was my love. It was my career. I was very proud of where I'd gotten to, and I had to let it all go because I didn't trust how many more athletes were going to get sick and what was it going to do to my body. A year later, I was on a plane to Dallas. It was almost exactly a year later. It was end of July, first of August of 2022. I was on a plane from Dallas to Tampa, and I had a heavy, heavy weight. Felt like somebody sat on my back with an elephant, burning in my chest, and my arms went numb and my feet went black. Scared me. I was on the plane with my boyfriend at the time, who's now my fiance. He was in the health industry, and he's like, this is really bad. And I was like, this feels like a female heart attack. Like, this is what they talk about. And I'd never had any problems medically. Didn't make any sense. I mean, I'd already left medical and went to media and was already working in AMP News and already doing that for a long time. So to trace it back is rather difficult. And I think that's what's happening now, is that people are having sudden issues now, but it takes a long time for shedding to actually have results. Think of microscopic nanite size razor blades tearing up your cells. They're very, very tiny, but you do it over and over and over again for a year, suddenly you're going to have major issues.
I would say that, yes, she's right, because the overall time frame of spike infestation, spike doing its thing, microclotting, causing damage, beginning to build amyloid materials in your blood vessels, arteries, veins, and so forth, capillaries even. Yeah, that can take time. And yet we do have many people who have been stricken within minutes of contact. So I think this is a full spectrum dominance kind of a thing that people put themselves under when they actually come into contact with the vaxxed. They just don't understand. A lot of them don't want to understand. They don't want to hear about it. But it's true. And if you listen to our program, two or three segments ago, we spent a lot of time on how our pets now are beginning to show signs, fatal signs, of being shed upon. And this is very difficult for a lot of people.
I wouldn't say that that's a new thing. That's been happening from the beginning.
Oh, yes, but we're here. Yeah, we spent time on it, though, in the program. Yes, we've known about this for a couple of years, that pets showing sickness and signs of illness. But it seems to be now that it's being talked about more, which is good. But I just want to make the point that if you are injected and you're listening, great to have you here. If you've got family pets, you need to be careful about that and wash your hands when you're going to pet your pet, and be careful. It's just the same as with your unvaxxed children or anyone else you come around. It's a fact now of real medical science that we have to engage and make proper and intelligent decisions about it. We're going to pay the price. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Doctor in Arizona, who has suppressed technology. It's an ultrasound that can see inside the body and do lasers and scans. She can see the carotid, the popliteal, which is in the back of the kneecap where the femoral artery runs. Because my feet and legs were going numb and they were blue and black, I knew there had to be something wrong with my circulatory system. And sure enough, she found peripheral arterial disease. Normal doctors would call that cardiac arterial disease, or CAD, which they're finding heavily now, which they just came out with. I think it was CBS that said that COVID is causing young people to get CAD. It's not COVID. It's the vaccine doing it. And if you already have PAD, which is a comorbidity, you get it from your parents, you don't ever have a problem with it until you do something to your body that makes that be active. So I had PAD my whole life, never knew, because I eat healthy, exercise, take good care of myself, and drink a ton of water. It's never going to be an issue. My blood went from water through a hose to jello through a straw, and I had massive amounts of blood clots in the back of my right leg, where my doctor was really worried about me being able to actually just fly again without throwing a blood clot. She told me, she says, I'm concerned you're going to wake up. You're not going to wake up.
Oh, my God.
That was August 31st.
Of what year?
Of 2022. This was only a few months ago.
Oh, my God. So you dedicated your life to building this business, working with professional athletes. This particular patient was a Major League Baseball player. I'm sure you're familiar, by the way, with the mandates by the NFL in the case of DeMar Hamlin dropping dead. As I watched live on Monday Night Football, they worked on him for 9 minutes. They say he died on the field. They took him to the hospital. His relative says he died again there, and they revived him, and now everything's A-OK. Something does not add up in that story. But I'm sorry for what you're going through, but so are so many people in this country. We're all being targeted. Look at the folks in East Palestine. They're all probably going to be targeted, and their homes will be taken under United Nations 2030 EPA policies at this point. So what did you do, or what are you doing? I know that you're a very helpful person. What are some of the remedies for folks that are listening that might be experiencing the same thing?
So I'll give you my disclaimer. Having been a medical professional, I am not a doctor. I'm not prescribing, nor am I.
Okay. I don't want to get into necessarily supplementation recommendations. You all know what to do. It's the same basic routine. The idea here, I wish she had been able to talk about Hamlin. You don't lay on the field with no blood flow to your brain for 9 minutes and suddenly get back to normal. It doesn't happen. His heart stopped twice on the field and once at the hospital. That's the aggregate of the information I was able to pull together. Three times he died. We know now through watching deep fake AI that they can do anything. They can present anyone in what looks like 3D right on your screen or 2D and duplicate their voice and their behavior and their physiology and their face. And it's a fake. They can do anything. We certainly hope that Mr. Hamlin is alive and well, but I'll speak for myself. I don't see any way that can be possible. I just don't. I think
NFL
had too much on the line. They had to cover up. They got his family on board. His family's virtually never been seen. I think they got taken care of financially to work with the NFL because the NFL did not want to have these horrors occur again. How they're going to stop that is anyone's guess. The season is over now, and all those who are legitimately vaxxed now are going through the slow process, or fast, of beginning to become symptomatic. They're going to have things show up. 6 months, 9 months, 10 months, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the NFL players got placebos. I don't think they'd risk the money. Same with MLB and same with NBA. Any major sports over here. Too much money.
Yeah.
Anyhow, what are your thoughts about Hamlin?
Oh, I think he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're seeing, that what's being paraded around in the media is AI, deep fakes.
Yeah. Yes. I was told by a friend in the Philippines just before the program tonight that they are already replicating physical reproductions. Walking, talking, physical reproductions in a video format of famous people, famous actors who have died, and it's just a matter of time before they replicate famous singers who have died. They'll replicate the voice. They'll have the singer looking exactly like they did in their prime, or an actor exactly like they did in their prime, and they could actually even make new movies starring, for example, Errol Flynn, John Wayne, Clark Gable, and you won't be able to tell the difference. That's where this is going. Just think about it. It's incredible. All right. I don't see any reason to go through this. Let me jump up ahead a little bit. You all right with that?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what she says here.
That, you know what? I have to do this every day, no matter what. I'm on a diet where I can only eat once a day because I can't digest anymore. Like, these things were not normal, and they are not normal. This is not a normal process of aging where people are like, oh, I'm 40 now, so all this is happening. That's ridiculous. Cell structures don't degenerate. You create trillions of healthy new cells every nanosecond. So why are we decomposing? It's because something's in our body forcing that decomposition, and it's at an accelerated rate because the goal is to wipe us off this planet. So we have to fight it intelligently. And there are counterparts that can work. So turmeric, vitamin D, quercetin is a great product, glutathione, and chlorophyll. If you've never looked into the chlorophyll, great product. It's wonderful. You take it every day for the rest of your life. Magnesium. So many of us are magnesium deficient. But if you're really interested in knowing more specifically without having to necessarily go see a doctor, which I do recommend if they're a hero doctor and they understand what's happening, Genocide Jab, Chapter 3. Change your life.
Excellent. I'll try to leave a link to that below. We'll take any good advice wherever we can get.
Okay. All right. That's a pretty good overview of a case that I hope makes it abundantly clear that shedding is more than real. And this woman has digestive problems. She is lucky to be alive at this point. And we have had, yes, we've had cases of people who have been shed upon who are no longer with us. All right. So understand that. It's true. I don't want it to be true, but it's true.
I mean, we're dealing with a weapon.
That's what people can't get through their heads, and you've made it so clear. This is not a vaccine. This has nothing to do with bettering your health.
Right.
It has everything to do with destroying your health.
Yep.
That's
and it's a stealth weapon in many ways. You know, as she said, it can sometimes be a fair amount of time before you experience the cumulative effects of the exposure.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean it isn't doing damage. I would say at the very least, this thing is atherogenic, meaning it can cause cardiovascular disease. You know, it tears apart the endothelium. It does a number on the blood. It dysregulates iron. It seems to prevent the synthesis of normal heme or hemoglobin. Gets into the brain.
If you think you can escape countless microclots in your brain and not begin to manifest and show differences in your personality, your attitude, the things you are able to express or no longer able to express, you're wrong. Brain damage is brain damage. Whether it's Alzheimer's, dementia, it doesn't matter. CJD, your brain is being damaged by the spike protein 24 hours a day. Yes, it may have a slow fuse burn on it. I don't know. But we are seeing more and more evidences of people reporting strange behavior in their friends and family. And that's a fact.
Yeah, there's the direct effect of the spike, the presence of the spike. And then I would say also it's interference with that tryptophan metabolism and then depleting niacin and subsequently depleting NAD. That may be the reason for some of the variation. I mean, some people have better stores of NAD to begin with, and maybe they're taking niacin and keeping them up fairly high or at a therapeutic level, while other people are just succumbing. If you don't have NAD in a cell, it dies, pure and simple. Cell cannot function without NAD. And I will add that some of these shedding experiences that people are reporting, this sensitivity to smells and the aldehydes, in order for the body to detoxify aldehydes, and that means, you know, coming from an external exposure, you're breathing it in or getting it on you or in you, you need NAD to detoxify aldehydes.
You can't buy it in a bottle.
No, you have to synthesize it. And how do you synthesize it? You take NAD precursors. And the best one is niacin. I mean,
and
you can go for these other, you know, designer ones. Well, I wouldn't. They're not designer. They're naturally occurring, but they've been patented now, and they're available. One of them, anyway, uh-huh. Still, is NR, nicotinamide riboside. Or NMN, nicotinamide mononucleotide.
You want flush
which the FDA
niacin.
Just banned. You really do. I mean, that's the best. That's a direct precursor. It has its own pathway to synthesize NAD in a cell, and it can override what's happening with the tryptophan in the gut, and preventing the synthesis that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely something to put into the, you know, the regimen of supplements people are taking. And the fact that I haven't seen any protocols, even the FLCCC is not including niacin. And it is so fundamental. I just don't see how anything is really going to reverse permanently until you address this NAD depletion that's happening.
I agree. Okay, let's take a look here at some of our anecdotal reports of people who have been gravely injured. And it doesn't have to be that they're on the doorstep of death, but they might as well be, because their life is miserable. Tinnitus people, just think about that. And remember, it's all exacerbated, and it's made far worse by these injections. Whatever you have seems to be enhanced, especially cancers. I mean, they're just gone. People are literally being diagnosed, and they die in some cases a matter of hours later, and they had no idea they even had cancers. So if you're someone who's harboring cancer, a latent cancer, or a cancer that is in remission, you do not under any circumstances want to get these shots, and you want to stay away from those who have had them for your own welfare.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hyperacusis. What do we have
yep.
here?
Hyperacusis. This is kind of lengthy. You sure you want to do that?
Your call.
We could do the first couple. We'll get as far as we can.
Go ahead.
All right. This is from the tinnitus group, and hyperacusis is a extreme sensitivity to sound. So it's every bit as bad as tinnitus, maybe worse in some cases. This person says, "Do any of you all mind adding me as a friend? In case I pass away, you can comment on how horrible the tinnitus and hyperacusis is, if you have it, or has been, or just that you got tinnitus from the vaccine also. No one believes me that I got it from the vaccine." And many people chimed in. First one says, "Do you have any noise machines and hearing aids? You might want to consider them. My audiologist said never to be in quiet. Keep the volume low, as well as the TV. I have hyperacusis too." And he answers to her, "Hyperacusis and reactive tinnitus doesn't let me listen to anything. But can you put it on very low? The idea is to train your brain not to focus on the tinnitus. I know it's easier said than done." And then this is interesting. Someone asks, "What benzo were you taking and how much? Were you on it before your tinnitus?"
I don't get the connection there, but whatever.
Apparently, I think it's somewhat later in this discussion, the topic of benzos comes up. He was just prescribed benzos, apparently, to deal with this tinnitus, because he probably went to a doctor that decided he had anxiety and gave him a benzo. And
yeah,
I
tinnitus
guess it was,
is because of anxiety, huh? Stress, right.
Right. Yeah. And I apparently, this can precipitate tinnitus. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know. Okay.
I'll just finish up this one. "If you have severe hyperacusis, you cannot listen to anything!" Exclamation point. And he answers the question about the benzos. "I was not on them before tinnitus and hyperacusis." One more. "I know it's very hard, but they say to try and listen to get used to it. I have hyperacusis, and I keep the volume very low."
And finish the next two.
All right. Original poster says, "I cannot listen to anything, or it will permanently worsen. Tinnitus just keeps rising over top of it. Reactive tinnitus is hell."
Well, yeah.
Another one says, "I have had tinnitus for 25 years. I'm pretty used to it, but hyperacusis is more difficult. Even small sounds cause pain and louder tinnitus.
There's a pain aspect to tinnitus. Interesting. I hadn't heard that. It was just noise. So it makes sense there would be pain. Let's look at the next page real quick here. 2 years and the tinnitus, reactive tinnitus, and hyperacusis has ruined my life. It's getting worse no matter what I try to do. You really are not alone in this journey. I've had tinnitus since I was 8 years old, but since the shot, I've never known hell like this. I was very habituated tinnitus sufferer, but this is a whole new level that I just cannot deal with. And there's a response to that. Reactive tinnitus and hyperacusis have stolen my life completely. I can't even clean my area. Completely room-bound, creak of a door, plastic bags, everything. Every sound kills me. And tinnitus is at a nuclear level. Everything I tried, I got pushed to do, made it worse. Being pushed to the vaccine by my mom was the worst decision of my life. And a reply to that from the first poster. Yes, I totally get you. My family said, do it. You need it. So under pressure, I did. Now it's me paying the price. Not only do I have these issues, but breathlessness with constant wheezing, numbness, small fiber neuropathy. At least 2 years, I thought I would be getting better. I've tried to keep strong, like everyone has said, but I just don't have any more energy. So with you, sis. I love you so much. I'm sorry. And then the last entry in this thread. I just bought hearing aids with maskers. Time will tell if it helps any. So here's the other aspect of this. These people are finding life now not worth living. You hear it in their words. And a lot of people are going to check out. I know a lot already have. It's just that horrible. These are called, it's almost absurdly black humor, vaccine injuries. It's not a vaccine. These are bioweapon injuries. This is a weapon of war. And these people have been wounded, like if they're on a battlefield and an artillery round goes off nearby and blows off a leg. They're finished. They're not going to come back from this. And I wish I could say otherwise. We have seen nothing to suggest that people are going to recover from this kind of damage. It's that bad. All right. Anything catch your eye here you want to jump into?
Here's another one. Absolutely. I got tinnitus after the third Pfizer, which was the booster. Oh. Biggest mistake of my life. Let's see. Recently, my 20-year-old son was at work and mentioned that I had tinnitus from the vaccine, and his boss told him that I'm not alone. She and some coworkers and customers also got it the same way. For most of them, it cleared up over time, but for others like myself, it has not cleared. There are a lot of us out there, but it's hard to link up with people in the same boat as us. And then the last comment from the original poster is interesting. Number six. He says, never let anyone talk you into taking a benzodiazepine. That and vaccine definitely gave me an unbelievable situation.
Unlivable.
Unlivable, yes, thank you. The noise exposures were enough. But now I'm beyond being able to tolerate it. And one reply. So many are in this group suffering with tinnitus who do not take a benzo, who did not take a benzo. I take one because my anxiety level is through the roof from the tinnitus. It does calm me down. I was on low dose for 10 years and never had tinnitus until the vax. Only 0.25 Xanax at night. But now I take a little more. I woke up at 4 a.m. with my ear hissing bad. This is every night for 2 years now. You're not alone. We can sympathize with you. Crank up the noise machines. Do you have a hearing aid with a masker? Were your ears checked? We must remain strong, as life is too precious.
And you'll see these people every day when you're out and about. You'll see them walking and talking and acting normal. But look at their faces, and you'll see many times that they are miserable. Look in their eyes, and in a lot of these instances, these people have been injured by this biological weapon of death. That's what it is.
I don't know how many people in this situation, though, are roaming around. Many of them have mentioned that they've been housebound.
Yeah. Roombound, housebound, they can't get out. Some do. They have to go to the store or whatever. Again, we would urge you to consider when you go into a store or go out and about and you're around other people, if you're not vaxxed, wear a mask and wear gloves. And, you know, to hell with other people think. Just do it. It'll give you a little of a, however much of an advantage it gives you, it's worth it. Take it. We're not asking or suggesting that anyone wear it for 8 hours on the job. If you have that kind of a job where you're exposed for 8 hours a day, I would try and find another job at all costs. I'd do everything I could. You don't want to be around that.
Yeah. Fortunately, it's you know, we're 2 years into this now.
Right. 2 years. And
well,
we don't.
With the economy being decimated now.
Oh, it's headed down. This bank thing is a big story. Look at the news headlines. They're up now. And you'll see it. You all know what's going on. And for all of you who are living overseas in other countries, wherever you are, you're seeing the same sorts of things we're seeing here. I read about it, and we know. So if you have any stories you want to contribute from, say you're living in Southeast Asia, whatever, you can let us know. Be happy to know. This is not strictly in the province of Western Europe and North America or Australia, New Zealand, or Canada. It's everywhere. Okay, anything else? That was very informative.
No, that should do it.
Okay, we will be back Monday. Thank you. Excellent work, as always. It's not a lot of fun, but I just don't know where else people would go to find this kind of cutting-edge information. And I'm just not seeing other people I'm learning from. We're finding it out here. That woman who made the video, wonderful, incredibly important video. So
yes,
we're glad we were able to present that a second time for anyone who doubts about shedding. You can't anymore. You can't play that game. Denial doesn't do it. All right.
Doesn't help.
Thank you.
No.
Talk
okay.
soon.
My pleasure.
Okay.
All right. Good weekend, everyone.
All right. We'll be right back with Yoichi Shimatsu. It's Fukushima times 12 now already, and we're going to talk about what's still going on and what's worse. That coming up next.